How many of you know what is happening 2 weeks from tonight? The last night of the first weekend of Walk Through Bethlehem. We'll already be three nights into it, and it's kind of hard to believe. How many of you, you know, it's cliche, I think, because everybody says it every year. Hard to believe that it's already here, right? Time flies, right, Clayton? And it's crazy to think, because I was racking my brain down there. If somebody in here can correct me. I think this is the 15th year, or it started 15 years ago, so it would be the 13th year we've done it because we had to take 1 year off. I think that's about right. Is that right, Mike? You were there in the first construction year? See, I knew Olivia was 15. She's 15 now, but I thought that first year we didn't use her in the manger because she threw up everywhere all the time. But sorry, darling. She knows how that goes. But so yeah, 14 years ago then. It's somewhere around there. And it's crazy to think that here we are, some 14 years later, and for sake of time, I won't do it, but I know in the crowd that we have here tonight, many of you are here tonight as a result of Walk Through Bethlehem. In fact, I think Shannon, you're a product of Walk Through Bethlehem, or Shauna is a product of Walk Through, well, therefore Shannon's a product too, because if it wasn't for Shauna, Shannon wouldn't be who he is. So Walk Through Bethlehem has impacted lives throughout Crossroads and really this community. And what's been mind-blowing this year is the amount of invitations you guys have taken. And in fact, I wish I would have taken that voicemail that we got and I played it for the church, but then I wouldn't want it to go out on the web. You guys are doing such a good job that somebody called to say, please stop hanging door hangers on my door. Now, they only got one, but they said they didn't want to hear any of our religious thing. And what was funny is they said that they believe in freedom of speech and freedom of their own religion. Okay. So we're good to hang it on your door? But anyways, I didn't call. I was really ready to call because he left his phone number. If you have any questions, you can give me a call. And I almost did, but probably bad testimony at this point. So, but, you know, Walk Through Bethlehem, I think, has impacted even those who are here tonight that didn't come because of Walk Through Bethlehem. Being able to serve in Walk Through Bethlehem every year, just the anticipation of it coming and working together with people. I mean, how many of you have made relationships within the church because of Walk Through Bethlehem? Raise your hand. You know, I think that goes for anybody that's a part of it. And so, as we were talking about, Pastor Dan asked me if I would preach on November, 26th, and I said, well, everybody's going to be tired from Thanksgiving. You know, they were at church Sunday morning. They were already full and tired from Thanksgiving Thursday. And so what am I going to feed them on Sunday? And with Walk Through Bethlehem coming up, I've been studying through that passage in Luke chapter 2, and something that really struck me, I love looking at characters in the Bible. And the ones I want us to look at tonight is the shepherds. And I want to look at it a little bit differently than maybe in the past. And I want you to go to Luke chapter 2 tonight. We get excited about things we anticipate. Think about it. We get excited about things we anticipate. I know Monica and Adam aren't here. I could have used them, but because I know they're excited about something they're anticipating happening next year, their wedding. And if you've ever been excited about something and that you just on that edge where you can't contain yourself, it's because you know something's coming and you're excited about it and you know it's coming and it's hard for you to contain yourself. Has your wife or teens, has your parents ever asked you to do something that you didn't really want to do? It's a little bit different, isn't it? How do you respond? Much different than when you're asked to do something that you're really looking forward to. I know at my house when I ask Jake to go out because I'm getting ready to mow the lawn, and the worst thing to do when you have a dog is mow the lawn if things haven't been cleaned up properly. And so I'll ask Jake to mow the lawn. He's not anticipating that. And so he's not very excited. And it, not that he's bad about it, but I just mean you can tell. It's not like he's zealous, like I'm saying, hey, we're getting ready to go to Disney, get your stuff together, let's go. And, you know, that's a little different, you know. As you're excited about something because you're anticipating it, you can't wait for it, you want it to happen. Well, Walk Through Bethlehem right around the corner, I was thinking about the shepherds and their reaction with the news of Bethlehem. How should we react to the news in Bethlehem? Not talking about how should we react about Walk Through Bethlehem coming up, but how should we react on a daily basis as believers about the news that took place in Bethlehem? Because I want you to see what the news was. Look at Luke chapter 2, with me, and we're going to start in verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. How many of you are thinking about Charlie Brown right now? You hear this every year, Charlie Brown. I love it. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so right here we see the news of what's taking place in Bethlehem. Now at this point, I want you to think for a moment about the shepherds. One, they're in astonishment because they just saw the angel, and it says the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid. I mean, that would be shocking, right? I was driving in my dad's car yesterday with the kids, with Olivia and Jake. We're heading out to the Turkey Rod Run. That place is crazy. And my dad, I installed a stereo for him not too long ago. And how many of you have your phone connected to your stereo now with Bluetooth, right? It's getting more and more common. Well, I don't know what happened, but like as loud as his radio can go is as loud as it rings when your phone rings. And we're driving down the road, and the next thing I know, the phone starts going off, and I mean, it's deafening. And I was driving, and it scared the kids. My dad was, he's like, it happens all the time. I don't know how to turn it down. But I was shocked, scared, sore afraid. I thought, I didn't know what was going on. And that's kind of the shepherds, even to a more extreme extent, I'm sure, when the glory of the Lord shone around them, and it says that they were sore afraid. Not afraid in the sense that they were scared of the angel, but they were shocked and taken back. And so they sat there and they listened, and the angel shared with them this news of Bethlehem. But I want you to look at the response. Look at we'll go down to verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they says in the beginning of verse 16, and they came with what? Haste. So how should we react to the news in Bethlehem? We're going to take the shepherds, and we're going to see three things as far as how we ought to react each and every day of our life to the news that our Savior has come, and he was born in the city of Bethlehem. First, go now. Go now. Don't wait. Don't anticipate. Don't put things off, because think about the shepherds for a minute. They heard the news of the Savior's arrival, and they desired to go and see him and to worship him. And these are some things to consider. These shepherds were working. They were busy. They had a task at hand before them to do, and shepherds were hard workers. They were probably overseeing several hundred sheep. Sometimes you think about, well, the shepherds were in the field, you know, they had their 10 sheep or something. If you go back and you study history in biblical times, even when Jesus said, when he used the sheep as an example, that if one would go get lost, how many were in that flock that he was talking about with one shepherd? He said there was 99 and the one went lost, so that's 100 if you can do your math real quick. And so that was 100 with just one shepherd. Guys like Job in the Bible had 14,000 sheep. We don't know how many sheep were there, but I can guarantee you there were probably several hundred sheep. That's a huge responsibility. These shepherds were in the middle of taking care of sheep. Now, when do you think would be the most difficult time to watch over the sheep? Be at night. And it appears that the angel appeared to them at night. They were keeping watch in verse 8 over their flock by night. Why was nighttime the most dangerous time? Because that's when the predators would come out. And so here they were working at a very difficult peak time of their work day, watching over a flock of, who knows, probably several hundred, if not a couple of thousand sheep, and the angel appears. And it says that, I love this in verse 15, and it came to pass when the angel were gone from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another. So there wasn't disagreement. They all said to each other, let us now go. Let's go now. Let's not wait. Let's not wait till daybreak. Let's not wait till we can get somebody else to watch the sheep so we can go. They were responsible for the sheep, but, you know, probably not the owners of the sheep, but they were responsible. They were given authority to take care of the sheep, expected to take care of the sheep, even during the most dangerous time, but they were willing to go because they were expecting something. The angel came, and think about this. He shared something that was pretty unbelievable. The news of a savior of the world arriving in the world. And the Savior has come, and the Savior came as a baby. I would think as the shepherds, if they knew anything, they'd be anticipating the Savior to come as a full adult man, ready to go, and ready to battle, ready to fight. But he came as a baby. And not only that, the angel said that he'd be in a manger. And it doesn't show us anywhere that the shepherds contemplated that, began to question with each other, hey, does that make sense? I mean, what, a manger? Bethlehem, okay, I know the scriptures, but a manger, a baby? But they go anyway. It says that they go with haste, quickly. There's no record anywhere of these shepherds delaying on their going, regardless of the current circumstances or situation that they were in. They went. The shepherds went. They didn't waste time according to the scriptures. What would lead to such a response? What would it be that would lead to the shepherds going in such a way? I believe it's this. Number one, I think they knew the scriptures. I think they knew the scriptures. Somewhere down the line, they've been passed down. I believe that they probably knew Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You say, well, why would you think that they know that? Well, I'm thinking that the angel didn't tell them to go to Bethlehem. They said the city of David is a savior, which would relate to Bethlehem. And so these guys obviously knew, hey, let's go to Bethlehem right now. They put two and two together, and they knew when they went. They knew the scriptures somewhat, because they didn't find it completely unrealistic or unbelievable that they wouldn't go. So they understood, they had some knowledge of the scriptures. But this is the part that I really believe too, and I love this, is that they were expecting the arrival of the Savior. They were expecting it. They were looking forward to it. The shepherds only knew a portion of the story, but today we have the full record of his arrival, his life, his death, and his resurrection. They just had the story of his coming, that he was going to lead the world and the nation of Israel back into a right place. So how much more excited should we be than even the shepherds, who were busy, who were working, who were toiling, who had responsibilities, but yet were willing to say, hey, whatever it takes, let's get these sheep and let's go. And they left, regardless of the work, regardless of what it was going to cost. Pastor Shannon, you're talking about, you know, the work that's going to take to put a church together. If we all sat around and said, well, let's just wait till it's going to get easy, guess what? No church would ever get planted. And so the shepherds weren't waiting until it got easy to go. They said, no, let's go now. And for everything that we can go, as you look through the scriptures, what it appears to be, we'll jump ahead just for a second. In verse 21, it says, verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision, that tells me that more than likely the shepherds were there within the first 8 days of Jesus' birth. That took some time to get there, plus heard all them sheep there, watching over their sheep, and whatever work had to be done to get there, they got there quick because they were anticipating the Savior, and they were ready to go, and they were excited about it. What's the difference? You see, the shepherds were busy, but they weren't too busy to respond to the Lord's news. It was more important. The news of what was taking place in Bethlehem was more important to them than even their own work. Now, they didn't neglect their work, because we know they returned to the work, which meant that they probably kept the sheep with them. We don't know, but we do know that they went, and they went immediately. Today, many Christians point to being too busy, consumed with life, work, family, regular challenges of daily life in the world, to go search for the Lord, to seek after him. Procrastination is easy. Proactivation, I made that up, is hard. Procrastination's easy. It's easy to wait. I'll get it done later. But to be proactive, that's hard. Determining to be proactive is a choice, though. Colleen's taught me. She's not in here tonight. She's over in the nursery. And I keep getting in trouble because I keep throwing her under the bus, apparently, in the last couple messages. So I'm going to throw myself under the bus this time. So all of you need to make sure you tell her that I threw myself under the bus and not her. But I am I used to be very much a procrastinator. My sister's here. She can probably attest to it. I will blame my mother, who I love dearly, but I think we got it from her. Not so much my sister, but I did. And she's not a procrastinator at all. See? And but I grew up kind of just with that procrastination mindset. I don't know if I got it from my mom, but kind of like Adam and Eve, you got to blame somebody. So anyway, I learned when I married Colleen that that wasn't going to fly. She was a very methodical, proactive type person. And I learned that being proactive was a choice, but it also meant that the more proactive I was, the more I got excited about anticipating things that were coming because I was putting work in ahead of time. And knowing that it was coming, it changed the entire perspective that I had from being proactive or procrastinating to being proactive. You see, I think the shepherd, even though they were working, they were doing their thing, they were anticipating Christ's return, and they were proactive. They didn't sit back and wait. They went, and they were ready to go the moment that they heard the news. So what are you waiting for? You know that Christ was born, lived, died, and rose again. And he calls us to come and worship him and fellowship with him. Something that the shepherds didn't even get a chance to do. They got to see the baby. They got to worship the baby. They couldn't fellowship with him. They couldn't hang out and talk to Jesus as an infant and you know, pick his brain and learn all about him and his love. But we get to. And that should be even more exciting and more of a reason for us to want to go day in and day out to fellowship and to be with Christ. And how do we do that? By sharing him with others. Why wait until we're not busy to share Christ with others, whether it be through our actions or our words? Because the time is today. I love what Paul writes to the Romans. Real quickly, you can flip over there, Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, 11, Paul, and he also writes to the Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, but I want you to see this in Romans. Romans 13, 11. If you're there, say amen. And Paul says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Aren't we a day closer to Christ's return, or our day to be with Christ, than we were yesterday? And he goes on to say that in verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." You know, it's time now to seek after the Lord and to fellowship with the Lord, to worship the Lord, and to take the good news of his coming and his life and his death and his resurrection and taking it to others. There's no reason to put it off. There's no reason to wait. In fact, the shepherds continued to work, for all that we can tell from Luke. They continued to work, but they just took their work over to Jesus to worship him and see him. Man, take Jesus with you everywhere you go. Work, the grocery store, the gym, the ball team, whatever, wherever, school. We don't have to wait till Sunday or Wednesday to go and see Jesus and worship him. We do it every day. It ought to be a part of our life. Not that it's a piece of our life, it is our life. We have to go now. Shepherds didn't wait. They made haste. They got up and they went. And when they went, they made things known. That's the second thing. The second reaction we see with the shepherds that we ought to have is to make it known. Look at back at Luke chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "And when they had seen it," not it being Jesus, but it being the entire picture of here's the birth and the Savior of our world come into a manger. So they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The news was obviously too good to keep to yourselves, or to themselves. They got there and they had to share what it was that they knew, what they were told, what they had seen. And at this point, they're just sharing it with those that are there. They're sharing it with Mary and Joseph and whoever else is in the presence there in Bethlehem. And they're sharing it. Can you imagine the excitement these men or these boys? I mean, more likely they were young. We even know that David was a young child when he was a shepherd boy. But whatever age they were, the excitement they must have had when their eyes beheld what the angel said was going to be there, and they knew that that was the Savior, that they couldn't contain themselves. I liken it to probably a 15-year-old female that can't stop talking when she's telling you all of the accounts of everything that she just heard. I'm referencing my daughter, but... And I just sit back and I listen, waiting for her to take a breath, you know, because she's excited. And she's going on and on telling you about it, whatever it is. Jake's the same way, you know. When you're excited about something and something took place that's just amazing to you, you can't help but to share it. And when you have three kids and one tries to interrupt, then they get mad at each other because you're trying to interrupt what they're trying to share that's so important, you know. But that's the reality. That's how we ought to be about Christ with everybody and anything. Is that we're so excited about Him in our life that we can't contain what is inside that we want to share with people about what He's doing and what He's done and how He works and the lives we've seen changed. And it's just, it ought to be something that causes us to be someone who can't help but contain or but help, you know, but get out who Christ is and what He's done. They weren't excited about just the birth, but I think they were excited about the Savior had come because they knew that it was the Savior. They weren't concerned with the reactions of the people or the responses. I thought it was interesting that it says there in that passage in verse 19 that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, here they came and they're telling Mary all about the angel and the baby that she just delivered as a Savior. Mary had already been visited by the angel. You know, and she's not really responding. She's keeping quiet. They didn't get aggravated. They kept sharing. They kept going. So many times, I think a lot of us, we have expectations of the way people ought to respond to us sharing about Christ, and then we don't get the response we want, and then we kind of shut down and say, now, what good is it? And we quit. Were we really excited about what happened, or were we really just trying to get something out of it? A response out of it that we wanted to feel good about. Because think about it. A lot of times if the response of the person who we're sharing Christ about or whatever, maybe it was something that took place in your life and you're excited about it because, I mean, you're like, look what God did. And you're excited about it and somebody's not. And you're sharing with, are you sharing with them because you want to glorify Christ? Are you sharing with them because you want them to look at you and go, wow, that's awesome? Which is a good thing, I know that, but I'm just saying, if we get upset because they don't respond in the right way, then are we really looking for the response to be for us or for the Lord? Because if I share what Christ has done, the response is between them and the Lord. I don't have to worry about it. The shepherds kept going. They didn't seem to care about the response of anybody that they were sharing with. They just wanted people to know. Men and women, that know the Lord and have seen Christ move have got to be sharing with boldness their faith in public and private whenever the opportunity presents itself. We've got to be ready to share. And then finally, the third thing is this. We see with the shepherds, their response was to go now. Their response was to share the truth. And then finally, the third response, and I think it's the most natural response, is they rejoiced. They glorified God. Look at verse 20 again. It says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was as it was told to them. They rejoiced. They left rejoicing. I read that the first time, and I thought, they left? It says they did. You would think, well, why wouldn't you just hang around and watch the baby grow up? See what happens. Think, you know what? The reality is they had responsibilities. They had a life that they had to live. They had responsibilities with the sheep they were caring for. But they left different. They left changed. They still had work to do, but they could now do it and share the news in their daily lives. There's no evidence that the shepherds put in their resignation and left the sheep and went back to Bethlehem. They went back to care for the flock, but they returned changed. You see, you can't come to know and meet Christ without allowing him to change your life. Their life was changed. When you come to meet your Savior, you were changed. Do others see that new life in you? Do they see that change? Maybe they didn't know you before you met Jesus, but do they see a change in you that's different from everybody else that doesn't know Jesus? It doesn't mean you're somebody who is always trying to, you know, hang the door knock, you know, the invitation on the door, trying to irritate somebody. That may happen. But that just means that they see you as somebody that, man, most people don't react that way when things go bad. And most people don't offer to help somebody when things are tough. Most people don't do this or don't do that. Something's different about you. Say, yeah, I used to be that way, but Christ changed all that. And you can rejoice knowing that I don't have to be who I used to be. For sake of time, we won't go through them all, but I mean, there's so many times that the Apostle Paul reminds the church about who you used to be. That's who you were. That's not who you are anymore in Christ. We're to rejoice. We're commanded to rejoice. Paul told the church in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoicing comes only with the Lord, though. Notice in that verse, he said, rejoice in the Lord. The shepherds were able to leave glorifying God because they had heard and they had met the Savior. We can rejoice because we have heard and met the Savior. But what are we going to do with the news in Bethlehem? We're going to be excited about it for ourselves and keep it quiet? Or will the excitement lead to us just sharing with others through our daily interactions? Again, I don't mean it's something that you got to go and you got to sit down and do a Bible study with somebody in order to show that. No. It's how you interact with the person at the checkout line. It's how you interact with the person behind you in the checkout line. It's how you interact with the person sitting next to you in class. It's how you interact with the coworker that's having a rough day. It's how you interact with every person that irritates you in life. Because I promise you, the people that you probably have the greatest impact on are the people that irritate you the most. And you don't want to miss out on those opportunities and be caused to wonder about it. Because you were too busy caring for the sheep, doing your thing. I'll get to that. But being proactive. How do we be proactive? Well, hey, it's just getting in God's Word and getting excited about what He's doing. Listening to things like what's going on with Pastor Shannon, getting excited about it. What Brother Robbie did last week, sharing about Engage Global and reaching the nations. Watching guys like Clayton and Caleb and Aiden and Luke and Phoebe, and yeah, I know Phoebe's a girl, but I just mean, you know, the band that's up here. Seeing young people play instruments for the Lord. Get excited about it. See what God's doing. What are we going to do with it? We've got Bethlehem coming up. It's one thing for the people to go through the city and hear the story, but it's another thing for them to walk in or come in off the street and see the story living out in the faces of the people that they meet as they walk in and come into the auditorium and then go through the city and then leave. What are we going to do about the story in Bethlehem? We have to have a reaction, much like the shepherds. Be anticipating it, looking forward to it, expecting it, and go and share and rejoice. Amen, church?